The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
In the next 5 weeks, I'm going to be talking about ways to incorporate mindfulness into our daily lives. So how many of you are new to meditation, have not done much meditation? Okay, a few of you. So in my own experience, I began my practice with daily life practice. I wasn't particularly interested in meditating, actually, but I was interested in understanding my mind. I was interested in understanding why I was so rent out of shape because of my emotions. And I read a book, and it encouraged me to start paying attention. And so I started paying attention in my daily life. And through that exploration of mindfulness in daily life, and I didn't have much instruction, actually, at that point. I was in the Peace Corps and didn't have any access to centers or teachings. I had a book that I read. And out of that book, I got this idea that it was helpful to understand emotion, to observe emotion, but not necessarily to act on it. And so that's what I started doing in my daily life. I started just observing the emotions that were so out of control. And I ended up with so much benefit from that practice that I eventually started doing sitting meditation. I figured, well, maybe this is why we do sitting meditation, so it gets easier to pay attention in our daily lives. So I kind of came at it that direction. I came at practice in that direction. And the daily life practice has been a huge part of my own exploration in my mindfulness practice. And it has been a place of great transformation for me. A huge opening and letting go of patterns and habits that have caused me suffering. And so I love to teach about this. This is one of my favorite topics to talk about. Often in the instructions for meditation, we're given instructions for sitting meditation, and I went through just a brief instruction at the beginning of the sitting that we did to give you a sense of sitting meditation. And often after getting instructions about sitting meditation, we're told, okay, well, now we can also try to apply mindfulness, apply our awareness to our daily lives, but often aren't really given much of a clue about how to do that. And through my own exploration and readings and just looking at what it means to pay attention in daily life, I've actually incorporated techniques that I have found helpful to bringing this mindfulness into daily life. When we sit down in meditation, we're given some techniques. Start with paying attention to the breathing. See if you can connect with the bodily experience. Open to hearing. There's some very specific things that we instruct about in the sitting meditation. And we don't have as much access to instructions, actually, for working with daily life. So I'm going to give you some instructions about that. This is a very practical class, this course, this 5-week course is very practical. I'm going to talk about a lot of tools that will support your bringing mindfulness into your day, to incorporating the awareness throughout your day. So sometimes people ask me why. Why bother? Why bother with doing this? And in my own experience, as I mentioned, I found it to be a huge place of transformation. You know, when we sit down in meditation with our eyes closed and breathing, we can get into kind of peaceful states, and that's wonderful. And I thoroughly, heartily recommend and endorse the sitting practice. I'm not saying to not do that practice. It's a great place to cultivate stability, to explore our minds. And it's only a very small fraction of the time of our day. During our daily lives is when we hit our stress, our habits and patterns that lead us into difficulty. And in our daily lives is a place where we can explore these patterns and habits. So in this exploration, we can start to learn different ways of relating to our experience, learn different ways of relating to our emotions, learn different ways of relating to other people. Typically, when we experience things, you know, a typical kind of scenario that happens for us is that we experience something, we see something, having seen it, we recognize it. You know, so oh, there's a person. Oh, that's my boss. So having recognized the person, then we start thinking about the person. I wonder what they're going to think about that thing I said in that meeting. And then we go on to sometimes some reactivity around that thinking. Oh, I bet they didn't like what I bet he didn't like what I said. I bet she didn't like what I said, and she's going to tell me these that I have to change my presentation, and I don't have time to do that. I've got all these other things I need to do. And we get off into reactivity. This happens all the time throughout our day. This kind of, we see something, we perceive it, we think about it, and then we start reacting to it. And if we can bring awareness to our experience, we can start to catch this reactivity even before it begins. It's actually possible to catch these reactions. Things that seem to be unconscious a lot of times. I mean, a lot of times we think about our habits and patterns as somehow coming up out of our unconscious, the unconscious realms or the subconscious realms of our minds. But as I have explored the mind more and more, what I have begun to see is that what I previously thought of as being subconscious or in the unconscious, it's simply something that's below the level of what my awareness is capable of seeing at that moment. And with this exploration of mindfulness and awareness, cultivating the quality of awareness, it's like that level of the unconscious, if we think about there being a certain horizon be under which we can't see, that horizon gets lower and lower and lower, and we can start to see where that reactivity even begins. We can catch it even before it begins. And in that recognition, in that seeing before it begins, we do end up having a choice about how we respond. So ways in which we think our minds kind of, we have no control over our mind responding in this way, getting angry over this particular thing or getting frustrated over that particular thing. When we think we have no control over that, awareness can bring it to a level where we can see the beginning of that reactivity, and we do have a choice. This is what I've learned through both my sitting meditation practice and my daily life practice. So it's well worth our exploration to meet our lives, meet our habits, our patterns with awareness. So when we are given instructions for sitting meditation, you know, it's relatively easy. It's easier to be aware in our sitting meditation than it is in our daily lives. And those of you who meditate, I'm sure, are familiar with this. You know, we sit down in meditation and we notice that our mind wanders off a lot in our sitting meditation. But boy, when we try to pay attention in our daily lives, that's like it's almost impossible. It feels like it's an impossible task. So there's certain things about the sitting meditation that support our ability to remember. You know, we're sitting still, and we have our eyes closed, usually, so, and we have our intention set to pay attention to something like the breathing. So, you know, that those things come together, and, you know, we're sitting still, and then we notice our mind wandering off, and because we're sitting still and our eyes are closed, we catch it. You know, we're sitting there with the intention to be meditating, and so when the mind goes off into some kind of fantasy or some kind of planning or some kind of story, it's kind of obvious when we wake up in the midst of this argument with our friend that, oh, I'm not really arguing with my friend. I'm sitting here silently in meditation. And so it wakes us up. There's this contrast between the thoughts wandering off and the kind of stillness of the meditation posture and the kind of sitting with our eyes closed. So there's this contrast, and it helps to wake us up to have that contrast. That's one of the ways that sitting meditation supports this remembering to be mindful. Another thing that supports it is having some kind of an anchor, some kind of a experience that we come back to over and over again. In our sitting meditation, we have the breath often as our anchor for attention. And so we set our intention, pay attention to the breathing. And often we remember or we recognize that our minds wandered, and pretty much the first thought is, oh, I'm not paying attention to my breathing. And then we can come back. We can reorient our awareness around the breathing. So that anchor for our attention of the breathing kind of serves as a reference point. It helps us to remember that we're coming back to our present moment experience. That's one good kind of working definition of mindfulness is being aware of what's happening while it's happening. And that's what we're going to be cultivating in our daily lives, and it is what we work with in our sitting practice as well. We come back and we orient ourselves around what's happening in the present moment. The breathing is always happening in the present moment, so we can connect with that. Knowing the breathing, we can know that we're in the present moment. In our daily lives, we lose all of those supports. We're not still with our eyes closed. So when we wake up in the midst of an argument with our friend, it's kind of like there's nothing to remind us about coming back to awareness. It's more like we're in that thought and we think we need to do something about it. Got a plan how to resolve this argument with my friend. So the support of the stillness is not there in our daily lives. And usually nor is any kind of a reference point. There's usually not any kind of something that helps us to recognize how much we're lost and how much we're present. And that's actually one of the main purposes of the anchor in our sitting meditation. It serves as a reference point. And this reference point actually works in two different ways. This reference point, if we can stay with the experience of the breathing for kind of longer and longer periods of time, that helps to gather and collect the awareness, and it settles and stabilizes the mind. But that reference point also serves as a recognition or a kind of a touchstone as to what our minds are doing when they're not paying attention to the breathing. So we pay attention to the breathing and our mind wanders off and we you know, notice that we plan and then we come back and then we notice that we mind wanders off again. We notice we're planning again and it comes back and then mind wanders off and we notice we're arguing and then we come back. And so we are instructing ourselves essentially in what our minds do. We're getting an education about how our minds work in this, having this reference point to come back to. If we didn't have that reference point, if we didn't have that plan or that intention to come back to the breathing, you'd probably not notice the planning and the arguing. It would just be the normal way your mind is. You wouldn't particularly call attention to the fact that your mind was doing this. And so this reference point serves as that kind of thing. It like puts a marker into our experience and highlights what's happening around that marker. So one of the main practices that I like to suggest for daily life is that you choose some kind of a reference point. Something that will help you to recognize whether or not you're mindful. What I like to suggest for this is choose some kind of really neutral activity that happens regularly throughout your day. It could be getting up from sitting. It might be going through doorways. It could be reaching for something. It might be if you sit at a computer a lot, you could choose something like closing a window or clicking send for email. Just something that happens regularly that you initiate. It's helpful to have it be an action that you initiate, and I'll explain why that is in a few minutes. So something that you do that happens regularly, say every, 10 or 15 minutes through the bulk of your day. The first time I did this was really early in my practice. This is one of the things I did when I first started trying to incorporate my mindfulness into my daily life. And I picked switching between DOS and Windows on my computer. I did that a lot. I had to do that a lot during my workday. And that seemed to be a good thing. So it doesn't need to be something that happens all day long, but just, something that happens regularly through the bulk of your day. Now, as you work with this, if you pick something, if you think about something, even pick something right now, probably what's going to happen is you're not going to remember for a long time. You're not going to remember maybe until you go to bed at night or something. That's what happened to me. I set up I'm going to pay attention to when I switch between DOS and Windows, and I go to bed at night, it's like, oh, I forgot all day long. At that moment, when you remember that you have forgotten to pay attention to this thing that you said you were going to pay attention to, that moment is equivalent to the moment when in sitting meditation you recognize, oh, my mind is wandering. I'm not paying attention to my breath. So it's kind of a longer span of time that we're dealing with here in daily life. But that moment when you remember, that moment when you recognize, oh, I have forgotten to pay attention to that the standing up. Suppose you chose standing up. I've been forgetting to pay attention to standing up all day long. That moment when you remember is not an indication that you failed or that you can't do this. It's actually the moment that the practice begins. That's when it starts. When you remember that you've forgotten, that's when your practice begins. And actually, that moment of remembering that you've forgotten, that moment itself is a moment of mindfulness. When you recognize, oh, I've been forgetting this thing, that act of recognizing itself requires mindfulness. So in that moment, when you remember, take a moment to pay attention then and there. That's a moment that's highlighted mindfulness for you in your daily life that you would not have had if you had not had that practice of intending to pay attention to standing up. So in that moment, just kind of take in what's happening in that moment in a very simple way. You might check into whether there's agitation or ease in the body and mind, just kind of very light, simple way. Check into your posture. You know, is there contraction in the body? Is there tightness anywhere? Relax if you can. And then just go on with your day. There's no need to try to hang on to anything at that point. But another crucial point about that moment of remembering is in that moment, after you have acknowledged what's happening here and now in this moment, resolve again. Set your intention again. I'm just going to try this again. I'm just going to try to be aware of standing up again. That's, again, similar in the coming back in the meditation, essentially, you know, in the sitting meditation, just resolving to come back to the breath over and over again. Again, it's a longer time span, but just resolve. Okay, I'm just going to keep trying. For me, as I continued with this over the course of several days, what I started noticing was not that I remembered right as I was switching between DOS and Windows all the time, but I remembered more frequently throughout the day that I hadn't noticed it. So, you know, 4 or 5 times throughout the day I'd remember, oh, I forgot. I've been forgetting. But I noticed, actually, and this is an important piece of feedback, I'm remembering more frequently. There's more moments of remembering happening throughout the day. You've got more moments to check in. What's happening here and now? Is there ease? Is there tension? What's the mind doing? Is it agitated? Is it planning? Is it fearful? Is it angry? Is it relaxed? And resolve again. Keep resolving. I'm just going to keep trying. At some point, you will probably remember right after it happens. I found that to be a point of, oh, okay, now it's actually getting much closer. It's like right after I switched between DOS and Windows, it'd be that remembering kicked in. Oh, I just did it, and I missed it, but I'm here now. So that now I was noticing actually that the awareness was getting closer to the event. This unfolded over several days. So this is not something that, you know, if you set your intention to pay attention to a reference point like this, you're not going to be able to do it like that. It's something that requires repeated resolve. I'm going to keep trying. And repeated noticings of the moment when you remember or remember that you have forgotten. And not as a judging thing. There's no need to judge yourself in that moment of remembering. A large part of the point of having this reference point is to get those moments of remembering. Not so much. I mean, there is some of a point. There is some benefit to, at some point, being able to land exactly on the thing that you've chosen. But a large part of the benefit comes from just having some kind of a reference point that helps you to remember about this mindfulness regularly throughout your day. And as you begin to touch into this feeling of being aware, beginning to recognize what is it like to be aware, that begins to kind of spill over into other parts of your day. So the moment of remembering is a really important moment, not only in our daily life practice, but in our sitting meditation. It's a moment of unprompted mindfulness. It's just appeared, you know, out of nowhere, suddenly, oh, I'm back and I remembered I've forgotten to be paying attention. So that moment is a really crucial moment. It demonstrates, first of all, that, you know, we can pay attention with very little effort. Because we didn't do that. I mean, we didn't have to try to become aware. I mean, it was just poof, here we are. So it's possible to have that kind of awareness without a lot of efforting. And it also is a place that can begin to highlight for us, what does it actually feel like when we're aware? I think that's something, at least for me, I didn't really have a good sense of when I started my meditation practice. Teachers would say, oh, feel a sense of presence. And I would have no clue what they were talking about. But I began to instruct myself as to what this presence was by paying attention at that moment when I woke up, the moment when I remembered about mindfulness again. In that moment, there's a chance to kind of recognize the difference between being aware and being lost in thought. So there's a little bit of a contrast. You know, not that we can really know what it's like to be lost in thought because we're lost in thought, but in that moment of coming back, there's a memory. There's kind of a lingering memory of what that was like. So there can be a contrast. You can kind of get a sense of what the difference is between the two. So that's really the main point behind picking a project, is to start getting familiar in those moments of remembering. First of all, one of the points is to get more of those moments of remembering throughout our day, and then to start getting familiar with what that feeling of being here feels like. There's kind of a sense of like the light going on. You know, that just right now, do you know that you're here? It's a pretty simple feeling. It's pretty subtle, actually. But we're here. It's not a big deal. Mindfulness itself is a really ordinary quality. You know, it's something that happens to us all the time throughout our day. It happens more than you can imagine, that we actually know what's happening while it's happening. But we don't really notice that we know what's happening while it's happening. Because what our habit around that moment is to do something with it. We couldn't get through our day without those moments of knowing what's happening while it's happening. We couldn't cross the street safely without knowing what's happening while it's happening. But we, almost immediately upon recognizing something, we end up leaping into thinking about it. So the beginning to recognize and highlight this moment, or this moment of knowing what's happening while it's happening, this waking up, beginning to highlight that moment and get familiar with it, it begins to point itself out to us throughout our day. So you'll begin to notice more and more and more, oh, here I am again, here I am again, here I am again. And then we can really start to pull this thread of mindfulness through our day. So another reason why to pay attention the reason why to pick something that you're choosing to do intentionally, picking some intentional action that you make, as you start to practice more and more with this reference point, you will at some point begin to land on the thing itself. You're going to know you're standing up while you're standing up. It's going to happen just like that. You'll just know that it's happening while it's happening. And at that point, that activity also begins to serve as a kind of a wake-up bell for us. That when we stand up, it kind of draws the mindfulness into it. So picking something that happens regularly throughout the day, we get even more and more moments of that remembering. So this exercise that I'm describing here about choosing a reference point, this is just the beginning. This is just to begin to get you familiar with what it means to be aware and what it means to choose to pay attention to something and to begin to see the process of how this paying attention unfolds. Over the course of the next few weeks, we're going to talk about different things to be paying attention to. We're going to be talking about paying attention to speaking, talking about paying attention to habits and patterns in our lives, and talking about paying attention to motivation, intention, and purpose in our lives. So there's a lot that we can explore. And what I'm talking about tonight is really just it's like the training wheels, essentially. You know, it's the training wheels of learning what it means to pay attention in our daily lives and learning that we can do this. We can choose something and actually end up paying attention to it. So in this, looking at the activity, this intentional activity like standing up, at some point in this practice, in this looking at this activity, you will know you're going to stand up before you stand up. You will be, the awareness around that reference point will start to become heightened so that it points itself out to you before you even do it. So you're sitting there at the computer and you need to get a drink of water. And you know you're going to stand up even before you stand up. This is pointing to something really important in our awareness. It's pointing us to the fact that we can know what we're going to do before we do it. We can know we're going to move before we move, and that's the most obvious area that we can know about. So before we move, we can know we're going to move. Before we speak, we can know we're going to speak. This is really helpful. Really, really helpful. We can also know we're going to think before we think. That one's more subtle, a little harder to see, but it is possible. So before any action of body, speech, or mind, there is a moment of impulse to do it. And we can catch that moment of impulse. That impulse itself is pretty neutral. It's just a momentum to do something. But accompanying that moment is always some kind of reason why we're going to do something. So sitting at your computer and you're getting ready to get up, you notice that you're getting ready to get up. And the reason you're getting ready to get up is because you're thirsty. So, you know that. I mean, that's a pretty neutral reason. You know, you're sitting there and you notice you're about to stand. And the reason you're about to stand is because you're getting ready to go to the sink to get a glass of water. That's pretty straightforward. But you've caught the intention and you've seen the reason why. Another time you might be sitting there at the computer and a frustration is building. And the frustration builds to a point that you just can't stand sitting at the computer anymore and you're going to get up out of that frustration. That's another reason why you might stand up, because this frustration has built up. So this beginning to see this intention, the moment before an action gives us a window into the reasons why we act. And with that window, we start to see what our reasons are. And sometimes our reasons are not so skillful. A lot of times our reasons are not so skillful. Sometimes they're kind of neutral, as I say. Sometimes they're skillful. But if we can see this reason, if we can see this motivation before we act, we have an opportunity to choose, do I want to follow through on this motivation? This, looking at this in speech is a huge benefit. If you can know you're going to speak before you speak and know the reason why you're going to say something, and actually if you can catch that moment you're going to speak before you speak, you'll probably know what you're going to say and you'll know why you're going to say it. Two huge benefits of being able to catch that moment. Because often we speak without really knowing what we're going to say. It just kind of blurts out. And we're not particularly connected with our motivation. But if we were connected with that motivation, we would have an opportunity to go, oh, okay, do I really want to say that? Do I really want to go there right now? We have that opportunity to break in and choose in the Buddhist practice and the Buddhist teaching, this moment of being able to see our intention and our motivation is a key moment. It's a key in our movement towards freedom from suffering. Because it's within our choices, it's within our, if we choose to act out of greed or out of aversion, that will tend to lead us into more states of suffering. If we choose to act out of compassion, out of kindness, out of generosity, that tends to lead us away from suffering. So being able to witness this moment is huge, particularly in our daily lives. So again, this practice I'm talking about choosing a reference point is kind of a training wheels towards beginning to even notice, oh, I can recognize I'm going to do something before I do it. It's possible to do this. It's possible. And begin to get familiar with checking into the reason why we're going to do something. So sometimes when we start looking at the reasons why we do things, it can be humbling. We act more often than we want to admit out of self-serving, unskillful reasons. So it can be very humbling. Now, the point of this practice is not to beat ourselves up for these self-serving motivations. Is not the point. The point is more to bring them into consciousness. Like I was talking about that horizon that gets lowered, this practice of looking at our motivations through catching movement before we do it, it's kind of a way of lowering that horizon. So we're witnessing, we're seeing things that would have been happening anyway. And because we see them, we have an opportunity to relate to them differently. We may or may not be able to choose to not act on an unskillful motivation, but at least we've seen it. Having seen that, we also then get to witness what the consequences are. What are the consequences of having taken that action? This is a kind of a training process. We learn through our choices. What is helpful and what is not so helpful in terms of leading us towards a calmer, more peaceful, settled mind, less stress, less suffering. So that's one practice I'd like to suggest that you try this week, this coming week. Pick something that happens regularly through your day and resolve to wake up for it, knowing that it's going to be a process over the course of days. I'd like to suggest a second exercise also, second practice. And this is a way in which we start to get familiar with what it means to be present for a little bit longer periods of time. In the exercise I was just talking about, usually the thing that we choose is something that happens kind of quickly, you know, standing up, reaching, clicking send for an email. It's kind of a split second thing. So, you know, there's not a lot of time to really sink into what it feels like to do that thing. You're walking through a door. It's kind of like you just know, I'm walking through a door. That's enough, actually. Just knowing that you're doing the thing while you're doing it is sufficient. That you don't need to try to do much more than that. And you don't even try to need to hold on to the awareness. Just kind of take in the fact, oh, here I am. And also check into whether there's kind of a sense of ease or agitation. Just getting a general sense of what's happening in the moment in a very light way. You don't have to do a lot of heaviness here. This practice is not meant to be a burden on the day. I think sometimes we feel like, mindfulness takes time. You know, we have to stop what we're doing in order to be mindful. And what I'm hoping that you begin to see throughout these weeks is that basically whatever we do, we can be mindful of it. It doesn't have to be stopping in order to be mindful. So this practice that I'm going to suggest now, this slightly longer thing, will help hopefully to give you a sense of what that is. So I'd like to suggest that you pick a chore of some kind. Brushing your teeth, that's one people often like to pick. Or washing dishes, or putting dishes away from the dishwasher, or making your bed. Something that takes a few minutes to do. And see if you can remember to be aware of that activity and see if you can stay with it throughout the whole time. If your mind wanders off, see if you can remember to come back. Now, this also helps to point us to the fact that we can be aware while we're doing something that has some kind of content to it. So while we're putting the dishes away, there's a little bit of planning that has to go on. You know, we have to pick up the dish, know what dish it is, and know where it goes. I mean, it's minimal, but there is a little bit of planning that goes on when we're doing that. And to just see, can we be aware of, you know, the movement of the body and just stay in awareness while we're doing it. One of my teachers, a teacher from Burma, teaches this kind of daily life practice, this connection with just activity through our day. And he says like kind of a 50-50 mindfulness, 50% of our attention on what we're doing, so the content of what we're doing, and 50% of our attention on the awareness. So that we don't have to, like, abandon the content in order to be aware. It's a different kind of mindfulness than we usually go for in our meditation practice, where we're actively letting go of thoughts. In the daily life kind of mindfulness, we need to get comfortable with being aware while thinking is going on. That's a challenge. But this exercise can help give you a little window into that. So picking a chore and seeing if you can kind of enter into the dance, essentially, the kind of the moving physical experience of that activity. So it can be helpful. I mean, brushing your teeth is kind of a still thing, but, you know, I've used a lot of these things. So, you know, just noticing the kind of sensations in your mouth and, you know, what movements you make and when you reach to turn on the water and when you choose to, what is it makes it you choose to actually spit? You know, all kinds of things. Like, you know, the mouth gets so full you can't hold it anymore, and so that's when you choose to spit out the toothpaste. So just noticing all of these things. It's helpful with this particular one, I find, to use some kind of a reminder. You know, put a big note by your kitchen sink or something, you know, mindfulness, put a big puffy ball of yarn ball next to the sink that's attached to your faucet so that you have to touch it in order to turn on the water. So that there's something to help you remember. Because this one probably only happens once, maybe twice a day. And so, you know, if you have a reminder, it can be helpful. So creativity in a daily life practice is really helpful. Get creative about ways to help yourself remember, and feel free to use them. Use props. Use as many props as you need. So there's two qualities that are really, really helpful to reflect on and consciously cultivate during the daily life practice. And they are patience and resolve. Resolve, because every time you forget, one of the most helpful tools of daily life practice is every time you remember, every time there's that recognition of, I've been forgetting, or, oh, I'm aware now, but I've not been remembering my projects, my tasks. Resolving again to keep trying. Not just saying, oh, I can't do this. This is impossible. It's not impossible if you just keep resolving. Resolve is kind of a quality that also needs to be cultivated. That, you know, I'm sure many of you have made New Year's resolves that didn't go anywhere. Probably because you made them on New Year's Day and then forgot about them. And then when you forgot about it and remembered, you thought, oh, well, I obviously can't do this. Not a resolve I can do. But the way to make resolves work is to keep resolving. Every time you forget, you remember you've forgotten, resolve again. Just resolve again, resolve again. So cultivating that, it's essentially a kind of a determination. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. This is one of the most helpful things to cultivate in our daily life practice, because it is something that takes a lot of determination to keep doing. It's not as easy as in the sitting. You know, you sit down for 40 minutes or half an hour, and you know, you may remember a dozen times that you've forgotten. Over the course of the day, you might remember a dozen times in a whole day that you've forgotten. So it's not going to happen as quickly. That's why we need patience. Patience for the fact that this is not a quick process. Patience for just continuing on, kind of this persistence. Patience, part of a quality of patience is persistence. Just this willingness to continue, to keep trying, keep trying. And it's helpful to cultivate this attitude of, okay, this is hard. This is hard and I'm just going to keep trying. That, I find that quality of patience can help with the, you know, cutting through some of the judgment that we tend to have about not remembering, or that feeling of, I can't do this, or that feeling of, there's no way I'm going to be able to do this. So patience and resolve. The other thing I like to point out about this daily life practice is that it's not a secondary practice. At least for me, it's not really a secondary practice. It's actually, in some ways I think of it, is it's really where the practice, what the practice in sitting meditation is meant to carry into, so that we can be aware through our day. It's really the more challenging practice in a way, you know, this daily life practice. It's the advanced kind of practice in a way. But that said, this is where I began my meditation practice. I began with this daily life practice, and it was 3 months before I sat down to meditate. And I learned a tremendous amount about my mind and had some deep insights into patterns and habits before I ever sat down to meditate. So even without a lot of instruction, even without a lot of knowing how to be mindful, I mean, I remember waking up, one of the things I practiced waking up for was anger. That was one of the things that was really eating at me. And I'd wake up in the middle of anger and go, what do I do with this? This is really unpleasant. I didn't know much about paying attention to emotions when I first started this practice, but I met that feeling of anger. I recognized it. Anger is happening. Even that simple kind of recognition was enough, was powerful enough to create a transformation for me around that anger. So it doesn't take a lot of skill, really. It takes resolve and patience. So are there any questions or comments?
I think that anger is one of the most common emotions. There's a lot of reasons that, different reasons that one has anger, often more than one. But if it interferes with your life and you acknowledge that emotion, how do you resolve it?
So in this practice, essentially I can describe what happened for me, that essentially what I did was to just simply recognize in that moment, I'm angry. And this was, I'd read one or two books on meditation and mindfulness, and they said, see if you can just notice the emotions without acting on them. And so I just I didn't know what that meant so much, but pretty much I just like, okay, well, I'm angry. And what do I do with this? And after a little while of kind of being confused about that, I was like, oh, I guess I go back to work now. And so I just kind of met it each time it got strong. I had, one of my resolves was to wake up for my anger when I noticed it. And when I first started noticing it, I was in a full-blown rage because it took a while for the mindfulness to kick in around the anger. But with something like anger, it does tend to spiral and, you know, self-reinforce. And so in that resolve to wake up for the anger, at some point in that process of it escalating out of control, I noticed it. And that's like, okay, well, I'm in a rage, you know. It's like, okay, this is really unpleasant. That's about all I could notice about it. But over the course of months of observing my anger, and again, not having a lot of instruction around it, what I began to notice is that waking up into the anger began happening earlier in the process, so that I wasn't in such a rage when I noticed it. And then over time, I began seeing, oh, it was just kind of more normal irritation or anger. You know, it wasn't anything out of control. And so even just that simple recognition of anger took the anger from being something that was making me non-functional to being something that was more in control. Even just that simple recognition. So, you know, there are more ways to work with anger, and I'll go over those in a few weeks. There's a lot of techniques to work with difficult emotions, and I will go over some more of those. But even just this bare recognizing can be really, really powerful. Really powerful. In my own case, after a couple months of observing the anger in that way, at some point I was doing something. I was cutting an apple, and I wasn't angry. I mean, nothing was going on. I was just cutting my apple. And I noticed a thought appear in my mind about the person I was angry with. And there was a connection between what I was doing and the memory. There was a link between them. And I noticed at that moment I wasn't angry, but I felt this kind of freight train of just this impulse to get on that thought and think more thoughts in order to get angry. And having spent a couple of months noticing what it felt like to actually be angry, you know, I had been waking up in the middle of anger and like, yeah, woo, this is not pleasant. Having spent a couple of months doing that, when the mind saw its intention to get angry, and it knew it was headed towards that state, it said, I mean, I didn't do this. This was just kind of an automatic thing, kind of like your hand might let go of a pot a hot pot on the stove. It's like, I don't think so. I don't think I'm going to go there. I don't want to go into that state of suffering. And it let go of that. And I stood there with a knife in my hand, waiting to get angry. Because I had not seen myself have a memory of this person and not get angry. I didn't even know it was possible that those two things could not be coupled. But I did not get angry. And at that moment, I was kind of blown away by the power of this simple mindfulness. And again, it was just very basic practice that I was doing at that point. Really, really basic. Pretty much mostly daily life practice that I had been doing. And now I'm not saying that after that point I did not get angry again. Not saying that. But I had seen the power of mindfulness. And I had also seen this kind of way this anger got created in the first place. You know, a sense impression, a thought, and then that impulse to get angry about it. It's very powerful to see how the mind works that way. So this practice is extremely powerful. And that moment to me, I mean, that was the moment I got hooked on this practice. It's like, wow, this is really potent stuff. If it can help me see how my anger gets created, I'm gonna spend more time with this stuff. So that was a kind of a long answer to your question, but and it's 9 o'clock, so we need to stop. So the two exercises, I hope that you'll experiment with them, play with them, and next week we'll have a little bit of an opportunity to talk about what's happened for you during the week, and we'll talk about some other areas to explore the mindfulness in our daily lives. So thank you.